Genre. Realistic fiction tells a story about characters and situations that seem real but come from the author's imagination. As you read, notice how the story's events give rise to the ending. Question of the week. Why do people make sacrifices for others? Johanna's Navajo Summer Experience by Jeremy Edgar. Illustrated by Jose de Santiago. Johanna put her smartphone away and looked out at the spectacular desert landscape. It wasn't the first time she had seen the towering mesas that thrust out of the desert like huge orange cathedrals, but it was the first time she had experienced the amazing sight without her parents. As she watched the rocks, shimmering in the intense desert heat, roll slowly by the bus window, she wondered if she had made the right decision. Her dad had wanted her to help him out in his hardware store back in the city during the school vacation. She had been tempted, as there would have been plenty of time to hang out with her best friend, Martha. Instead, she had opted to spend the vacation with her grandparents on the Mesa Verde deep inside the Navajo Nation. Her nana, Chuli, and her grandpa, Sani, were there to welcome her with a smile and a hug as she stepped down from the bus. They put her suitcase in the back of their truck and set off for their home. Her grandparents lived in a hogan, a simple one-room house made out of logs. It wasn't much to look at from the outside, but inside it was cozy and exquisitely decorated with traditional handmade rugs and tapestries. After breakfast, Johanna was sitting in front of the hogan, checking her messages on her smartphone, when her cousin Bidzi rode up on his pony with another pony in tow. They were accompanied by a good-natured dog that had a red bandana tied around its neck. The dog ran up and started to lick Johanna's hand. "Good morning," Bidzi said with a smile. "That's Yanaha. He'll be helping us today." Then, seeing Johanna's puzzled expression, Bidzi added, "I'm looking after the sheep today, and I thought you might like to ride out with me." Johanna's grandparents had taught her to ride when she was 5, and soon she and Bidzi were riding out over the prairie, breathing in the cool morning air. Taking care of the sheep was easy. Yanaha was doing all the work of keeping the sheep together. Johanna and Bidzi talked easily about school and their classmates. It wasn't until they got onto the subject of their free time that they found they didn't have a lot in common. Bidzi didn't seem interested in Johanna's stories of hanging out at the mall, or her soccer team, or any of the things she loved to do in the city. Instead, he just smiled and lazily waved a hand at the blue sky and the majestic mesas beneath it and said, "Who could ever want more than this?" That evening, after the supper things were washed and cleared away, Johanna sat on her comfortable bed and read the messages on her smartphone. Her grandpa was at his workbench, making beautiful bracelets out of silver and turquoise, while her nana's hands flew skillfully across her loom as she crafted a traditional Navajo rug. Johanna reflected on her day and wrote an email to Martha. "Hey there! How are things? I kind of miss the excitement of city life. The mall, hanging out with our friends down at the pool, and the million and one other things there is are to do there. Here, it's so quiet, and the only thing to do is look after the sheep. Yes, that's right. My cousin Bidzi came over and we spent the day riding ponies on the prairie. The weird thing is I found it kind of relaxing. Anyway, send me an email and tell me all the exciting things you are getting up to during the vacation. Love, Johanna." Johanna continued to ride out with Bidzi until a few days later. He informed her that something had come up and asked her to take care of the sheep on her own. "Don't worry," he reassured her. "You'll have Yanaha to help you." So Johanna rode out with the sheep with only Yanaha for company. All was well until Yanaha started barking at something over by the edge of a cliff. Johanna went to investigate and saw that a sheep had fallen over the cliff and was stranded on a ledge a couple of meters below. Instinctively, she reached for her smartphone, but then realized there was no one she could call. "Looks like we'll have to solve this problem on our own," she informed Yanaha. She took a rope and a blanket from her pony and tied one end of the rope around the saddle horn. Then, she used the rope to lower herself to the ledge. Once there, she used the blanket as a sling and placed the sheep inside it. Then, she secured the sling to the rope. Both Yanaha and the pony instinctively knew what to do, and the pony backed up and pulled the sheep up the cliff. Once the sheep was safe, Yanaha guided the pony to lower the sling once more to the ledge. Soon, they were all safe again. The next day, Johanna told Bitsy all about her adventure on the cliff. She felt that the experience had changed her somehow. She felt more self-confident. It had been a different kind of adventure than the ones she was used to in the city. There had been real danger, and she had faced it and triumphed. "No adventures today," her grandfather informed them. "Today we're going into Cortez. Your Nana and I have some things to take to the trading post there." When they arrived at the trading post, Johanna and Bitsy looked around while her grandparents did business with the owner. While Johanna was fascinated with all the beautiful native jewelry and artifacts on display, Bitsy didn't appear to be interested in anything. "I've seen it all before," he explained. "This is the only thing that means anything to me," he continued, showing Johanna a simple silver and turquoise star on a leather string that he wore around his neck. "My, our grandparents gave me this when I was a baby. It's a talisman to keep me safe in danger." "I know," Johanna said, wanting to change the mood a little. "Let's explore the town." After agreeing to meet their grandparents later on at the cultural center, Johanna and Bitsy set off to explore the town center. They soon found a department store and Johanna dragged the reluctant Bitsy inside. Although Bitsy tried not to look interested in the modern clothes and technology on display, Johanna noticed that he was paying attention to what she had to say about them. "Wouldn't you like to live in the city for a while?" she asked. "I mean, how do you know you wouldn't like it unless you try it?" "It's time to meet our grandparents at the cultural center," he said, changing the subject. When they arrived, there was a crowd of people outside watching something. Johanna and Bitsy jostled their way to the front to see what the attraction was, and to Johanna's delight, they found young Native Americans giving a display of traditional dances. Johanna was mesmerized by the music, movement, and the colorful costumes. The more she found out about the Navajo, the more intrigued she became. After the show was over, she spent the rest of the day exploring the cultural center, finding out more about her people and their fascinating history. It was getting near the end of the vacation, and Johanna and Bitsy took a day off from minding the sheep to ride out to the ancient cliff dwellings. Their grandparents had prepared a picnic lunch for them, and they were enjoying the treat as they chatted beneath the homes of their ancestors. "I've been thinking," Bitsy said. "Maybe it's time I experienced something new. And how bad can city life be?" Johanna looked at him surprised and laughed. "It's funny you should say that. I've been trying to persuade my parents to let me stay here for a while longer. I'm enjoying finding out about our people, and the life here isn't as boring as I thought it would be." Bitsy's face lit up. "I know. Why don't we ask our parents if we can change places for a year? You could continue to live with our grandparents, and I could stay with your parents. After all, it's not as if we were strangers. They are my aunt and uncle." "There's no harm in asking," Johanna said, reaching for her smartphone. Grandpa Sani lifted the suitcase out of the back of his pickup and handed it to the luggage handler at the bus depot. Johanna was sad that she wouldn't be seeing Bitsy until the next school vacation. I want you to have something of mine that means a lot to me, she told him and handed him her smartphone. You're going to need it more than me. Bitsy looked puzzled. But how are we going to keep in touch? He asked. We can always write, she said with a smile. Besides, you managed without one, like forever. Bitsy bit his lip and took his talisman from his neck. But I didn't manage without this, he told her. I guess you're going to need it more than me. Johanna accepted the gift reluctantly. She knew Bitsy was making a great sacrifice. It looks like you kids are exchanging more than just your lifestyles, Nana Chuli remarked. But don't worry, with experience comes knowledge. You will both be wiser from the experience. As the bus pulled away, Johanna waved back at Bitsy, who was waving from his window, and wondered what new experiences awaited her.